Hi, and thanks for tuning in to the Holistic Matters podcast. My name is Kara Cradle, and this is the Medicinal Herbs Special Series. In our 13th episode, our host, Sarah Lebrun-Bloschka, is joined by a first-time guest, naturopath and herbalist Joe Boyd. Sarah and Joe discuss the subtle differences and similarities between adaptogenic and tonic herbs. These are two classes of herbs. One helps the body adapt to daily stress, and the other is known as restorative and supportive of the feeling of well-being. Joe describes several of her favorite herbs, many of which have both adaptogenic and tonic qualities. Some of the herbs mentioned in this episode include Eleuthero, Ashwagandha, Rhodiola, and Scissandra. Let's get started.
I'm super excited today to have Joe Boyd with us. This is her first time on our podcast, and we're going to talk about herbal adaptogens and tonics and what that means and how are they different, and we're going to dive right in. So Joe, you know, when we're thinking about these concepts of adaptogens and tonics, you know, I think sometimes the general population get confused and they don't know what they mean. So could you kind of define them for us and how they're different from each other?
Absolutely. And thanks so much for having me here today, Sarah. So when we're looking at the concept of tonics and adaptogens, they're actually quite unique to herbal therapy. And I think what you'll find is that often there's quite a bit of overlap between adaptogens and tonics. However, what you'll also find are there's some subtle differences as well. And I think, you know, many, if not all of the listeners really would probably agree that stress is pretty much unavoidable in today's modern world. And it can really have this heavy impact or exert this heavy toll on our nervous system function. And this is where these tonic and adaptogenic herbs really shine and have a key role to play. If we start by having a look at adaptogens, as the name alludes to, they help the body better to adapt to these daily stresses by fine-tuning the nervous system response. And they're considered natural, you know, compounds or plant extracts that will increase our adaptability to stress, but also our resilience and basically the survival of an organism to various stresses. And they're considered to be innocuous, so they don't influence the body any more than what is needed. And what I think people will find in regards to adaptogens is often they work best with continuous use. And if we have a look at how they work, and we're still learning really about how adaptogens work, but it has been proposed that what they will actually do in the body is inducing a mild activation of the stress response. And this helps us to cope better with stress and also helps us to cope better with more severe stresses that we may face. And this is quite in line with that whole concept of hormesis. And, you know, if you're not familiar with hormesis, I highly recommend that, you know, you have a look or read about hormesis, because it's a really interesting concept and very much ties in with health and well-being and healthy aging. And a very sort of general, I guess, summary of hormesis could be that good old saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So what we mean by that is a small amount of stress actually promotes what we call eustress or good stress, as opposed to distress. And that really promotes health and well-being in our bodies, and also helps with things like mental and physical performance, which is so important. And the reason why these hormetic agents have these health-promoting benefits is in part because of these defense molecules that the body calls up in response to these various stresses, such as things like heat shock proteins and sirtuin molecules that you may have heard of. And so what we're doing with adaptogens is not only are we dealing with the stresses that we're facing at the time, those immediate and existing stresses, but we can also perhaps repair any damage that has been done. And I think what's also really beautiful about adaptogens is they can also build up our resistance to future stress. And I think with adaptogens, because they're so effective at helping us to be more capable of dealing with stress, I think of them as very much as adrenal sparing as well, right? Because if you're managing stress better, you're really reducing or lightening that burden of stress on the adrenal glands themselves. So then with tonics, and tonics have this rich and long history in herbal therapy, and they're commonly misunderstood, including being confused with adaptogens. And from a Western herbal medicine perspective, we consider tonics to restore or maintain the functioning of the adrenal glands or the nervous system or the organ or systems, which will lead to a feeling of well-being. Now, there was this Chinese herbalist, and he was also a Western translator of Chinese texts called Ron Teagarden. And in his book, which was called Chinese Tonic Herbs, he talks about tonics, and he said that among the thousands of herbs used by the Chinese, there are a select few that are known as tonics. And he said that these herbs are very much revered because they enhance life force and increase longevity and encourage natural harmony in the body. And certainly from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective, they are considered the superior medicines, herbal medicines, or the best of the best to really strengthen a system that needs toning or tonifying. And then in Western herbal medicine, we often think of them as herbs that will increase or release energy, where if you think about adaptogens, we often think about those herbs as conserving energy, whereas tonics, we are very much sort of boosting energy or energizing the body. And they'll also provide tone and vigor and function to the whole body. And then, you know, of course, you know, another discussion is all the different types of tonics that we have, of course. So we've got general tonics that I've already mentioned and adrenal tonics, but we've also got things like nerving tonics and female tonics and male tonics, etc. But as I said, you know, there is definitely overlap in their actions and applications, but certainly there are some subtle differences between them.
You know, the one thing that you mentioned about adaptogens that I think always has fascinated me is that, you know, your body knows exactly, it can adapt to the amount mm-hmm. that it needs, you know, and I think that's just so fascinating. And tonics are, as I understand, and as I think you're defining too, is that sometimes maybe we need to push ourselves a bit more mm-hmm. in our body. And that's kind of how maybe they differentiate a bit, right?
Yeah, I think you're right there. And as I mentioned, you know, with adaptogens, they're very much about conserving energy. But if you're looking for, you know, if you're wanting to energize your body, or particularly if you're looking for a quick energy, then I would certainly go for a strongly tonic herb over an adaptogen.
So when we think about kind of the right type of areas when we're going to use a tonic versus an adaptogen, what are those conditions, and like mm-hmm. how do you choose one over the other when we're working with a patient?
Yeah, look, I don't know that there's any perfect answer to that, Sarah. And to be honest, you know, I often use both.
Right.
And I think, you know, what's a really interesting thing about herbs, and I think a great thing about herbs, is that they have more than one action. And what you'll find is that with many of the herbs, they'll have both tonic and adaptogenic activity. However, they may be stronger in one action than the other. So I think if we, you know, perhaps we use ginseng, the different types of ginsengs as an example, we have Panax or Korean ginseng, and people know when they take Korean ginseng, they feel energized pretty quickly, right? And that's because if we mm-hmm. have a look at the balance between tonic and adaptogenic activity, it's about 80% tonic and 20% adaptogenic. But then if we have a look at another type of ginseng, Siberian ginseng, which we also know as Eleuthero, that's a herb that we consider to be this wonderful archetypal adaptogen. And it's almost purely adaptogenic. So it's about 90% adaptogenic and 10% tonic. So it's basically the opposite of Korean ginseng. So when you take Eleuthero or Siberian ginseng, you won't get that quick energy boost, but it is a herb that works wonderfully when taken over time for that adaptogenic support to help us deal better with those daily stresses. And then there's another ginseng, for example, ashwagandha, also known as Indian ginseng, which is very balanced in regards to tonic and adaptogenic activity. So it's about 50% tonic and 50% adaptogenic. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why it is such a versatile herb. But coming back to your question, Sarah, about what I would choose when, I guess in a situation where I might be looking for that quick energy boost that we just talked about previously, I'd choose herbs with strong tonic activity. So that would be herbs like Panax ginseng and rhodiola. And I really like those two in combination to help mm-hmm. me sort of, you know, get through the day. And then, you know, if you've got a patient who's perhaps feeling, you know, the challenges of daily stresses and needs to better deal with stress, then I think that's where the adaptogens have a really valuable role to play. And if we take them on a daily basis, that will actually let their influence gently and gradually build up in the body to help us better manage stresses. And some of my favorite adaptogenic herbs are herbs like ashwagandha and schisandra and eleuthera as well. But, you know, once again, as I said, you know, there is going to be overlap. But I think also, you know, people have their favorites as well and their go-to formulas depending on what they're experiencing at the time also.
I mean, I think that's the beauty of the herb, right? It's they're multifactorial, you know, they have many different components to them. And so, you know, they can be tonic and adaptogenic, which is super exciting.
Exactly. So we're covering all bases.
Right. Exactly. You're really getting, you know, across the board effects.
Yep.
You know, as we think about tonics, and you started to allude to it earlier a little bit, that, you know, there's different types of tonics. There's like a general tonic, but then there's others like adrenal tonics, or you talked about women and men tonics, you know. So can you maybe just dive a little bit deeper into those differences from a general tonic to a more specific tonic?
Yeah, sure. So general body tonics, or, you know, whole body tonics, as I like to refer to them, will energize the body and improve, you know, the tone, the function and the vigor of the whole body. And I think great examples of that are Korean ginseng and rhodiola that I just mentioned. And then we have our adrenal tonics. And it's really important when we are under stress to support the adrenal glands themselves. And the adrenal tonics, you know, improve the tone and the function and the histology of the adrenal glands, in particular the adrenal cortex. And our key adrenal tonic herbs are, or the true adrenal tonic herbs, are licorice and Romania. And I think it's really important to note that we don't wait until someone is really stressed and suffering from, you know, adrenal depletion. We can use these adrenal tonics to prevent them from getting to that stage, and really to preserve and protect and restore the health of the adrenal gland. And then, yeah, we have male and female reproductive tonics that are very specific, as the name suggests, to the reproductive system of both men and women. So for men, some examples would be tribulus and ashwagandha and Korean ginseng. And then for women, we have that beautiful Ayurvedic herb, shatavari. And another one of my favorite tonics would be the nervine tonics, because they can really help to create homeostasis and balance in the nervous system, and they're very nourishing to the nervous system. So they can be used in a couple of ways. So you can use them to support overall feelings of well-being, and they work beautifully with adaptogens. Or what you can do is you can use them for specific applications depending on the herbs that you're choosing. So they can, you know, promote relaxation, provide mood support, reduce, you know, nervous tension, or they're great for sleep challenges, for example, you know, wakeful nights, or when you have trouble getting to sleep. And I'd have to say that Skullcap is one of my absolute favorites. It's so gentle and nourishing to the nervous system. And it also helps to reduce muscle tension. And it's a great herb for calming worried thoughts. And I think it works really well with ashwagandha to help to calm someone's busy mind. And I think it's fair to say a lot of our patients are experiencing that. And then when we have these feelings of irritability and agitation or restlessness or even high excitability, you know, Skullcap is really a key and very effective herb for that as well. And I also must mention it's one of my favorites, along with ashwagandha, for children.
You know, it's interesting. We just did a podcast on ashwagandha, and we talked about ashwagandha for sleep and, you know, and its ability to be so multifaceted, but in safety in children. And so I think it's, you know, good to reinforce that and think back to what we learned earlier. And I've been taking ashwagandha. I've added it to my regimen recently. And I really do have the sense of, you know, calm when I take it.
It does. You know, I often hear people say that it gives them a calm alertness, because it is calming and energizing at the same time. And I really like that idea of a calm alertness. And I think it's something, you know, we all probably want in today's busy lives.
Especially probably that type A personality who maybe is you know, kind of always driving. So
And that's another one where I think Skullcap is really good for those feelings of agitation and irritability and anger. You know, those people that are quick to anger and get flustered and lose focus. I think, you know, Skullcap is a really good herb in that situation also.
That's awesome. Okay, so we talked about tonics. Now let's focus a little bit about adaptogens and adaptogens' role in the immune function. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, look, I think this is a really fascinating topic and definitely worth talking about and doing more research into. And look, we know that the functions of the HPA axis and immune system are very closely interrelated, right? And then Professor Alexander Panossian, who really is the leader in regards to adaptogenic research and our modern, he's really led the way in our modern understanding of adaptogens. Well, recently, he was involved in several reviews very recently that have been published on this topic, and I'd highly recommend or encourage everyone to read them. And what he is suggesting or saying is that adaptogens have this multi-targeted effect, as you've mentioned several times, herbs having this multi-targeted effect. And in regards to adaptogens, they're having this effect on the neuroendocrine immune system by triggering adaptive stress responses. And what they're saying in these reviews is that adaptogens really have a place to or a role to play in prevention, infection, escalating inflammation, and also recovery from infection. And how we understand that they're working in regards to immune system function is helping to modulate both innate and adaptive immunity, having some of them have anti-inflammatory activity, support detoxification and repair of oxidative stresses and damage. And I think a great application of adaptogens as well is aiding in convalescence, because I think that, you know, convalescence is something that we seem to not really value anymore, or perhaps we're too time poor to convalesce and need to get back to work early and so forth. And this is where herbs can be really effective, such as ashwagandha and echinacea, astragalus and eleuthero, I think are really good examples in this situation. Convalescence comes from that Latin word convalescere, which means to grow fully strong. And I think if you have a look at many of these herbs, in particular, have a look at some of the traditions of ashwagandha, and it's said to, you know, bring vitality and vigor to a depleted body. And I think that sums up, you know, convalescence beautifully. So I guess in summary, you know, if the immune system's not functioning properly, say it's being, you know, it's overreacting or it's underreacting to various challenges, adaptogens are certainly worthwhile investigating in regards to the valuable role they can have for supporting immune system function.
You know, as we think about this kind of multifaceted effect on the immune system and the HPA axis and inflammation, you know, they're all so tightly tied. And
correct.
So, you know, we can't just like only focus on one area. So if we're stressed, we're likely to be more at risk of getting ill because of that. So I think that's just such an important point to think about. You know, one of the other herbs that I think about convalescence is cat's claw too.
Oh, of course.
Maybe in, you know, kind of the most maybe effective in some ways, but in combination with other things that you talked about too. And I think that's a really, like, you know, kind of interesting combination and such a cool, interesting herb too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so as we think a little bit more about adaptogens and tonics, and we really, I think, have dived in to start understanding how are they different, how do they overlap, how are some herbs both, you know, adaptogenic and tonic at the same time. Can you talk about in your practice how maybe you recommend a few different herbs and how would you, you know, choose those herbs to have an effect with individuals? I know we've touched on some, but maybe if we just dive a little bit deeper.
Sure. You know, if someone is coming to me with depleted energy, for example, and you know, I think it's fair to say that we are seeing this rising incidence in fatigue and also depletion, and you know, we are seeing this parasympathetic dominance as well as sympathetic dominance, of course, as well. But if you're looking at these type of people who are really struggling to get through the day, perhaps they're physically and mentally drained, they might be sleeping long hours and not feeling refreshed, so they have that what we call non-restorative sleep, where it doesn't matter how much sleep you have, you wake up and you're still not feeling great. This is where I think, you know, herbs such as rhodiola, Korean ginseng and schisandra really, really shine and can be effective. I think it's important to note in regards to Korean ginseng, because it is such a strong tonic, we don't necessarily recommend taking it too late in the day for that reason, because you don't want to stimulate and tonify someone too much late in the day. However, having said that, and I know I've heard Kerry Bone mention this before, that it is a very effective herb for that non-restorative sleep. So those people who are waking up not feeling refreshed. And as I said earlier, you know, I often combine it with rhodiola. And I think Schisandra is another beautiful herb as well for its adaptogenic and nerving tonic activity also. But I think when people are in this stage of having that depleted energy, it's also really important to look at all of the different factors that could be contributing to that, of course. And you really want to support adrenal gland function. So we do that with herbs such as licorice and Romania. And then look at supporting mitochondrial function, and rhodiola and Korean ginseng are great herbs for supporting mitochondrial function, as is, you know, hawthorn and herbs containing berberine such as philodendron. So there's lots of things that we need to look at. But if I'm talking about sort of just my go-to products, I think rhodiola and Korean ginseng and Schisandra are terrific. And what I find in these situations is that they're quite practice building, because if you think about it, our patients are coming in to see us, they're exhausted, they're tired, and they want to feel better. And with these herbs, it's not just about improving physical energy, but, you know, it's about improving mental energy as well. And they do that so, so effectively. Another situation might be that, and I think, you know, it's fair to say we see this a lot in clinic as well, as that tired but wired patient. So the patient that comes in to see us that basically, you know, falls and slumps in the chairs and tells you how tired they are, but they're sort of talking a million miles an hour, and you know that their mind is just not switching off. So often they're in that sympathetic dominance, and they're sort of that overactive but debilitated person. And often they'll have feelings of agitation or irritability or quick to anger, or that busy mind that I keep mentioning that people can't switch off. And often you'll find these are personalities that are always on the go, or that type A personality that you mentioned, Sarah. So if I'm thinking about that type of situation or presentation, some of my go-tos or my favorites would be, you know, ashwagandha, which is one of my favorite herbs for adaptogenic and tonic activity, and skullcap that I've also mentioned, and Eleuthero. Once again, it's really important to also support the adrenal gland health as well. So I think they're just some examples of things that, you know, we're commonly seeing in our modern day patients.
As you kind of describe that, just so the practitioners listening have a little bit more understanding, maybe you get them early in the day or late in the day, mm-hmm. because of their effects, and maybe a little bit on, you know, what those combinations look like. So could you just maybe give a little bit of guidance to, you know, when to utilize the herbs a little bit more in depth, and how you would kind of differentiate them?
If you're looking at herbs that have strong tonifying activity, and you know, I keep talking about Korean ginseng, rhodiola is another one that gives people energy, but it's not so strong in its tonifying activity. It's about 60% tonics, 40% adaptogenic. But if you are looking at herbs that are that tonifying and energizing, I tend to give them earlier in the day. So first thing in the morning, I think it's great to start off with, you know, an energizing formula, and also give them throughout the day as well. And then we have herbs that have a very sort of calming, or what we call sedating activity. And I'm always hesitant to use the word as a herbs being a sedating tonic or having sedating activity, because people often correlate that with, you know, knocking you out and putting you to sleep. And in fact, that's not how they work. So if we look at herbs for the nervous system, such as ashwagandha and skullcap, they're wonderful herbs to take throughout the day to deal with the stresses that we're facing, but also to prevent that stress buildup that can often accumulate throughout the day and lead us to having, you know, worried thoughts when we try to go to bed, or difficulty getting to sleep. And then we have other herbs like valerian, for example, and kava that we know are very, very calming to the body, but they're not going to calm and sedate you to the point where they're, you know, going to knock you out. And they've done studies with both kava and valerian, and given people these herbs and got them to operate heavy machinery or they've put them in driving simulators. And what they've found is it doesn't impair their cognitive function and it doesn't impair their reaction time. So, you know, herbs like that are terrific to take throughout the day, as I said, to prevent that stress buildup. But there are also wonderful herbs to focus on when you get home or as of an evening to help you to wind down and to really help you to get to sleep.
I think that really helped to differentiate, you know, where to use what and what timing, because I do think, you know, a lot of times as we think about timing, it's so important, right? Because we don't want to miss, you know, give somebody something that is going to stimulate them and, you know, they're having difficulty sleeping and so on. We've kind of dived into this road of adaptogens and tonics and which herbs when, and, you know, some specific situation. Is there other things you want our audience to take away as we kind of wrap up
the
discussion?
Look, if I had to, and I often get asked this, you know, what are your favorite herbs and what are your go-to herbs? Often that's a difficult question to answer because there are so many great options. And I've already talked about skullcap as a wonderful nerving tonic herb and Panax ginseng and rhodiola for energizing. But I think maybe if I think about my two favorite herbs at the time or at the moment, and that's very much rhodiola and ashwagandha. And I don't know if you've seen the images of the beautiful rhodiola flower, but it's this bright, vibrant yellow flower. And it grows in really harsh climates, such as Arctic regions, including Alaska and northeastern Siberia, where we have these high altitudes. And I think that's one of the reasons why rhodiola is considered one of the herbs, along with, you know, ginkgo for high altitude sickness. But we're also talking about freezing temperatures as well. And I think what is quite fascinating about rhodiola is up out of this harsh landscape pops this vibrant yellow flower, which I think really illustrates the potent adaptogenic and tonic nature of this herb, that it can grow and thrive in these conditions. And in regards to rhodiola, there are some quality issues that I think are worthwhile highlighting, because there's so many species of rhodiola. The rhodiola that I use and that has all of the clinical research is called Rhodiola rosea. And it's given that name because of the rose-like odour that is released with the rootstock when it's freshly cut. But it's really important to look at the active constituents to ensure that we've got the right species of rhodiola, and look at the active constituents in particular, rosevin and salidracides, at a ratio of 3:1. Now, rhodiola is one of these herbs that has a really interesting and wonderful history of traditional uses, particularly as an adaptogenic and tonic. And as I've mentioned, it's about 60% tonic and about 40% of adaptogenic activity. And this is really my choice of herb when you want to feel physically and mentally switched on, and we can feel the benefits really quickly. And there have been a lot of studies in regards to rhodiola that I highly recommend you look into. One of them, for example, showed that rhodiola improved the quality of intellectual work. So that's alluding to its effect about mentally energizing us, and also prevented the loss of work due to fatigue. So looking at the physical energizing aspect of rhodiola. And this was a study that was done in students and doctors and scientists as well. So this is how I use, you know, the herb for fatigue and mental and physical exhaustion. I think it's fair to say, as I've mentioned earlier, when our patients come to see us and we want them committed to their health and their well-being, and we know that, you know, for many that's going to be a long journey, they come in to see us and they want to feel energized and they want to feel better. And I often get the feedback with rhodiola and also Korean ginseng is that people feel they can mentally and physically get on top of things. And I think, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about ashwagandha today, because it is such a very effective adaptogenic and tonic herb, and very balanced. So 50% adaptogenic and 50% tonic. And it's often referred to as nature's gift to humanity. And it's treasured by both Eastern and Western herbalists. And I know Angela, I think you mentioned, has done a podcast in regards to ashwagandha. So I highly recommend everybody listen to that. And I know she talks about the fact that ashwagandha has a very particular odour. I think, to be polite, we could call it an earthy type odour. And it's said to give the smell or the scent of a horse and give you the strength of a stallion. But I think in regards to ashwagandha, what makes it quite unique and differentiates it from other tonic and adaptogenic herbs is that it's gently sedative. So rather than having a stimulating effect. So I think this is a really good choice for those overactive but debilitated patients where the strongly tonic nature of your Korean ginsengs may tend to aggravate that overstimulation. One of my favorite herbs for children that I've talked about, and particularly good for those children who are exhausted from stress or have those body aches that they often get, or get sick easily, or have low energy or sleeping troubles. You know, it's tough being a little one nowadays. Ashwagandha is an absolute go-to, and there's so many really interesting and wonderful applications of ashwagandha that, you know, I think I could probably talk all day about ashwagandha. But it certainly is a really versatile herb, and I think absolutely a dispensary essential. So I think just to finish up, and as you can probably tell, this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. I could continue on, but, you know, in the interest of time, I just want to say that, you know, modern day life is tough and it presents many challenges, and our body's natural defense mechanisms can at times really struggle to deal with these stresses. And I think supporting HPA axis function and optimizing the way that we cope and deal with stress, It doesn't have any equivalent in mainstream medicine. And for us as natural healthcare practitioners, we're really in this ideal position to support our stressed out patients, assist them not only with their daily stresses, but build up their resilience and physiological capability of dealing with future stresses as well. And I know I've heard Kerry Bohm say this before, and he says that when we're talking about the impact of herbal prescribing, there's probably no area more important than facilitating an optimal stress response. And this is where the tonic and adaptogenic herbs really shine and have that key role to play. So I do think for all of our listeners, you know, they really are these dispensary essentials that will not only enrich their practice, but I think, you know, most importantly, really help to improve, you know, the patient's health and well-being and quality of life, which is, of course, you know, what we're all aiming to do.
There's so many individuals, even if you're a practitioner, and many patients, right, who are dealing with a lot of stress these days. And yeah. So finding ways, it's those herbs to help them deal with that really make a difference. And as we talked before, you know, the HPA axis is so involved in so many different aspects and really to maintain health, right? So mm-hmm. we have to control our stress. So we have good sleep, we have a healthy immune system, we have effective inflammation pathways. So mm-hmm. I think your points are just so apropos to what we're talking about in the world today. And I really appreciate all the knowledge that you gave to our audience tonight. So thank you so much for that. And I think maybe we'll all go take our ashwagandha and we'll have vigor, but then we'll be calm too. I love that.
Exactly. It's a win-win.
Right. Exactly.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thank you so much to naturopath and herbalist Joe Boyd for joining us on this episode to talk about adaptogens and tonics. For more herbal knowledge, visit holisticmatters.com. That's holistic with a W.